I'm sure by now you're all well attuned to what is our church theme over the next several weeks, prayer. Recently, Nick has introduced to us the idea of us being on a prayer journey. And I hope you managed to complete the questionnaire or survey that Stephen was mentioning earlier. 2 weeks ago, Nick kicked off our sermon series on prayer by asking the question, why do we pray? So this morning, after a break last week at St. Catherine's of St. Paul's, celebrating VE Day, we return to our topic of prayer by asking along with disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. These were the words used in our Bible reading this morning, and this was Jesus' reply. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. What we now know is the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, the prayer our Saviour taught us. It perhaps should be titled the Disciples' Prayer, since Jesus taught it the purpose of teaching his disciples how to pray. Now, many of us would have grown up reciting this prayer, though perhaps we are more familiar with the version in Matthew's Gospel rather than this more abbreviated version of Luke's Gospel. When you think about it, it's actually quite a simple prayer, not complicated or worded with lots of flowery language, just a few statements with an outline of what prayer should contain. To begin with, though, we would have to establish who we are praying to. Ultimately, our prayers are to God. Now, Jesus would have known, as too probably the disciples, a Jewish traditional prayer called the Kaddish, which begins like this. May the great name of God be exalted and sanctified throughout the world, which he has created according to his will. May his kingship be established in your lifetime and in your days. In many ways, not dissimilar from the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, though, makes his prayer one of personal communion rather than a theological declaration. Despite God's amazing majesty, he doesn't ask us to come before him extolling his greatness with titles such as Most High, Creator God, Almighty, Lord or Master. He gives us permission to come before him in the most intimate way possible by addressing him as Father. To use the word Father was very much a New Testament expression introduced by Jesus. It was not something used in Jewish liturgy. It was revolutionary at the time, as it emphasized a close and familial relationship with God. It was not merely about worshipping a distant deity, but about recognizing God as a loving Father who desired a deep personal relationship with his children. It emphasized the concept of a redeeming God, and it assured the people then of a sense of belonging, security, and confidence and trust in God's provision and guidance. So we need to begin our prayers then in the certainty that God is our Father and turn to him for that certainty that we are his redeemed children whom he loves. So we've begun our prayer. How then do we proceed? There are two schools of thought about how to approach this lesson in prayer, either to use it as it is and recite it, or to use it as a model, a template on which to base our prayers. So this morning we're going to look at it as a model, to know what to include as we pray in our own words. Now, I've taken a bit of license here as we're going to look at this under five headings, all beginning with the letter P, so hopefully easy to remember. And to jog your memory too, I printed off some sheets with these headings on. They're on the welcome table, so please help yourself at the end of the service. So, five P's. Praise, plan, provision, plea, and petition. So praise then, hallowed be your name. The first item on our prayer list should be to praise and extol God, to hallow him. Now, hallow is a sort of fairly old-fashioned word, but it's had in even the more modern versions of this prayer in the Bible. And it means to be holy, sacred, consecrated, blessed, worthy of a deep sense of awe. We are, in effect, saying is, may your name, God, be all of these things to us. We need to consider God as such value, so supreme, that every other value by comparison simply falls away. We're setting God apart. And what's interesting about this is that it comes before anything else in prayer, before we even confess our sins, let alone come before God with our particular needs and concerns. Anne Lamott, a Christian writer, in her book, Travelling Mercies, says, the main components of people's prayer are, help me, help me, help me, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, though, right at the outset, despite how we may be feeling, asks us to turn to our Father God and adoringly praise him. Not to come before him with a shopping list of our concerns, but to hallow his name. Can we be honest with ourselves this morning in our assessment of how we pray? Do we praise God like this before anything else? Some food for thought. Praise. Plan. Your kingdom come. The major emphasis, the plan, if you like, of Jesus' preaching was about the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means God's reign, God's way of doing things. And Jesus himself was God's justice, mercy, grace, and peace reigning on earth. So when we think of these words, we're being drawn into the real desire for God's reign in the power of Christ to not only be more apparent in our world, but in our lives too. And the fact that this thought as well comes before our pleas and petitions, stresses the importance to us of a deep longing to see the kingdom of God spread to each and every one. It's a real missionary prayer item. It teaches us to make the telling and praying for the gospel a priority. So we need to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit to bring revival, to have an eagerness to pray for people who don't know Jesus to come to faith, our friends, neighbours, family, the community of Rye Park that we live in, our own nation and the nations of the world. Each month, we have a different mission focus. How much do we commit that mission to God in our prayers? And we need to pray for those actively involved in mission on a local and international level. But we also need to include as well our thanks to God for making us known to us the blessings of his kingdom, that we can have a positive hope that Jesus will finally return and complete his kingdom. When we see the troubled world that we live in, our prayers need to reflect our hope in heaven and that final triumph of Christ. So praise, plan. Provision, give us each day our daily bread. In the same way that God provided manna for the Israelites in the desert, so we can come before God and ask him for our needs. It's not a consumer request for all the material things of life, rather a dependence on God for our basic necessities. Notice particularly the word daily We're not asked to do our requested for next week's supplies, just sufficient for each day. This is all God gave the Israelites in the desert, enough for one day, no more, no less. So we need to regularly give thanks to God for our daily provisions. We need to recognize that we're blessed by God every time we eat and for the things that we've been given. And notice it says, give us, not give me daily bread. Daily bread may be something that we are blessed with, but there are others in the world and even in our own nation at this time that aren't so sure of that provision. So this prayer by default means we want others to have daily food and provisions too. We should be praying with that in mind. Praise, plan, provision, plea, forgive us our sins. Forgiveness of sins was at the very heart of what Jesus was about. God, who is offended by each and every one of our sins, can say to us through Christ, our sins are forgiven. This prayer then reminds us we need to continually seek the grace of God for ways in which we fall short. So how often do we realistically confess our sins? Once a week on Sunday in our prayers of confession? And even then, do we in fact recall and name them in our minds? How easy is it for us just to say, forgive us our sins, and gloss over them, without deliberating as to what these sins of ours actually are? Jesus wants us to acknowledge in all our prayers, not just on worship service days, the mess we make of our lives. And in a later sermon, Nick suggested different styles of prayer that can be taken on board with this kind of self-reflection. But this prayer also tells us we have to go about the business of forgiving others who've offended us. We also forgive everyone who sins against us. In a way, there's an expectation in the statement that since we are forgiven, we should in turn exercise forgiveness with others. It reminds us that we must not expect our prayers for forgiveness to be heard if we pray with nastiness, spite, and meanness in our hearts towards others. To pray like that is mere formality and hypocrisy. Our prayer is empty without our love for one another. Now, I am not suggesting that this is an easy task. When we've been deeply hurt and offended, it seems impossible to let go. It leaves a wound, it leaves a scar. Forgiveness, then, to begin with, can only properly come as a result of prayers for healing and inner peace, only over a long period of time. But we do need to regularly think and pray about whether we have a heart of forgiveness. To think of anyone we need to restore a relationship with, or whom we need to forgive, for whom we need to forgive, or whom we need to say sorry to and seek their forgiveness. So praise, plan, provision, plea. Finally, petition. Lead us not into temptation. Like the seeds get choked by thorns in Jesus' parable of the sower, we can get challenged by the pressures, hurts, and difficulties of life around us. We need to resist the effect the world has on us in its opposition to the effect that Christ has on us. Now, if we think back to that Old Testament story again, the Israelites and their miraculous escape from slavery in Egypt. After a while, they were moaning at Moses to return rather than head from his land. After all God had done for them, they wanted to go back. We can be like this when life gets tough. We begin to doubt and question God. We get tempted to let go of Christ and wonder whether our faith is worth it. Jesus encourages us to bring this before God, to be real with him about the fact that we need help. Even Jesus knew this temptation as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the battle to trust his God, despite what was going to happen. What God wants us to do is not to turn our backs on him, but to be honest with our doubts, hurts, struggles, and temptations before him, so we can know his sustaining strength, leading us through it. If we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we need to pray in confidence, that he strengthens our faith to trust in him, even through the most difficult of times. So this teaching prayer of Jesus then is asking us to think about these things as we pray our own prayers, to praise God with the reassurance he's our Father, to desire the coming of his kingdom, to ask God and thank him for our daily requirements, to seek forgiveness for how we fall short of how God wants us to be, and forgive those who offended us, and to ask for God's strength to trust him when we face the trials, difficulties, hurts of life. So the question then this morning is, do our prayers actually reflect this? How much do our prayers come close to embracing its simplicity, yet profound enough to include all those things relevant to living the kingdom of God? Now, I would propose we major pretty strongly on the provision and petition aspects, either help me, thank you prayers, coming with a list of itemized things, all ours and the world's troubles and needs. But Jesus wants us to take the things off and broaden our scope to praise, to pray for the spread of the gospel, to admit our wrongs, not only just on Sunday in our worship services, but in our home groups and our everyday prayer life. Prayer is never easy, especially with the busyness and demands on our lives. There are no exact prescriptions, only God's rules. Jesus has given us such a guideline as to what to pray for. May you be more diligent in following it. When you think about it, if we start to get this right, it would not only strengthen our faith, but deepen our relationship with God. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hast trodden, Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen.